Bibles to Proverbs, chapter 23. We're going to just take some moments this morning and talk about a passage of Scripture that you may know very well, but one that would never hurt for us to spend more time having God speak to us about. Proverbs chapter 3, we're just going to read verses 1 through 8. If you'd like to take out that burgundy book in front of you, our pew Bible, it's page 576 as we read this portion of Scripture together this morning. This is Solomon, the son of King David, writing this as he writes, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days, a full life, and well-being. Never let loyalty, faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." This is God's word. There was a Model T Ford that had pulled over on the side of the road. The hood is up, and this young man was desperately trying to repair it so the car would run, but it wouldn't go. And desperate and not knowing what to do, he looks up and he noticed that coming down the road and actually pulling in beside him was a limousine, yeah, just behind the car. And with that, the back door of the limousine opened and out came this man who was very, very distinguished. And walked up and he said, "Is there a problem, young man?" He goes, "Yeah, I can't get it to go. And I seem to have tried everything that I know and it just doesn't want to work." And the older gentleman looked and said, "Well, you see that little part here? I'd like you to do this, this, and that. And when you do, it will run." And the young man looked at the guy and thought, "The guy got out of a limousine. He's dressed like this. I mean, look at him. Like, what does he know about a car? But I'll give it a try." And so he did these things. And with that, the gentleman said, "Okay, get in the car and crank her on up, and it'll run for you." And the young man gets in the car. He turned over the key to the car. And what do you know? It started. And he's sitting there, and he's like, "Well, how would he know that?" And so he got out of the car, and he literally comes up to the man and goes, "I'm astonished. I mean, you're the last guy I would have thought would know anything about how to repair this car. How in the world did you know that?" And the man said, "Well, I'm Henry Ford. I made that car. That's mine, so I know how it best works." When we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, just two verses in particular, verses 5 and 6, we're hearing from a man named Solomon. Solomon is considered in the world by so many to be the wisest man, and the Scripture refers to him as the wisest man that ever lived. He was the son of King David, who, when it was his opportunity to lead, God comes to him, and God said to Solomon, "Ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." And what do you think he chose? Some of you know. Solomon said, "Please give me wisdom." And God was amazed. He said, "You know, you could have asked for money, possessions, power, so many other things, but you chose very wisely. You chose wisdom. And because you've chosen wisdom, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all those other things as well." And God did. And Solomon did experience being a man who was very wise. But sometimes, if you know the history of Solomon, he was also a wise guy. And he made his mistakes, being unfaithful to his wife, unfaithful to God at times, not the greatest of leaders that he could have been to the kingdom of Israel. And so he comes to this point in his life, and God has still given him wisdom. And now he's speaking to his son as we begin this chapter. And as he looks back on his life, As he takes the wisdom that God's given him, the experience that God has used through that wisdom, he says, like we all do at a certain age, and I must admit I'm getting to that age now where every time I get an opportunity, even if I'm just going out to golf and with my son, when something comes up, it's like, hey, here's a little bit of morsel. And, you know, I went through that same thing. Let me tell you what I learned from that experience. And that's what he does, inspired and moved by God's Spirit. The first thing he wants them to know as this young son, as he's doing this, as he's living his life, he begins by saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you're following along that outline today, that I included in the bulletin, I encourage you to take this and share this, not just for yourself, but with others. And that's this. He says, first of all, trust God. My son, no matter what you experience in life, what I want you to do is trust God. And the Hebrew word for trust here is the idea of putting all your weight on God. Just like this morning, even as you sit now, you came this morning and you sat in that pew. Your feet may be on the floor, but where's the weight of all that you are right now? It's resting and trusting that that pew will hold you up, that the builders built it well, glued it together, nailed it together, and it will hold and support you. You put basically all but your full weight on that. And what he says to his son and to us through this teaching is, as you live your life, trust God. Just put your full weight on him. And he's not saying, and understand, the Hebrews did not have this idea, this concept of what many may consider as a blind trust. He's not saying just blindly, blatantly trust in kind of a hope-so attitude, but rather to live your life trusting in such a way that you can begin to look back on your life and your walk with God. And on the basis of that experience, you can trust him more and more and more because he builds that faith, that trust, through experience. I mean, how many of us really walk up to see a person for the first time and really trust them? Oh, sure, I'll trust you. I don't know who you are, but here's the keys to my car. Would you mind parking it for me? Yeah, right. I want to see you do that in New York City and see if you come back to work. I'm only going to give keys to my car to somebody I trust. And that's what he's saying, is make sure that in your life you trust, because these people who are reading this regularly, they remember the Exodus, how God led his people from slavery in a miracle that seemed incredible to be set free, and then to face a sea, and God leading them through that sea, and to be set free, and then to be hungry, and to be thirsty, and there's God. And so the trust that he was asking for was a trust that was built on personal experience, where they stepped out and said, God, I don't know, but you've proven yourself in millennia past through the Hebrews, and then in the New Testament, through the New Testament saints, and all through the saints that were come to this country. And I look back and see how you've proven yourself to be a trusting God, and one to be trusted. And in my own life, I see experiences, and we allow ourselves to have those experiences more and more, founded not trust on something blindly, but something that we can look at God and say, because of who you are, I trust you. Back some years ago, we had gone down to Philadelphia, Patty and I, with my daughter, son-in-law, and the grandkids. And as we were walking along, one of the twins, you've seen him here, one of the twins, Blake, is running, and he fell and he tripped, and he skinned his knee. And you could see the pain and the face. And with that, he jumps up and begins to cry. Well, I'm right by him, so I picked him up, and I picked him up, and I started to pat him on the back, and it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And initially it was okay, until he looked, and he realized that Dad was standing there. I was Dad. I was Pop-Pop. And all of a sudden, all he was, Daddy! Daddy! And of course, I put him down, he ran up and jumped into the arms of his dad. Now, this is the same kid. When you pull up to the house, he's the first one out of the door. Pop-Pop! 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 But when he's hurt, when he's in pain, when he's looking for hope and consolation, it ain't Pop-Pop that's been building that trust day after day after day, because Dad, Pop-Pop's not there. It's Dad that's there. It's Dad that's picked him up before, when he skinned his knees, when he's fallen, when he's hurt, when he's been questioned, when he's had a knee. Dad's been there. And because Dad's been there, he's the one that he wanted. He's the one that he trusted. And that's what God says to us. He says, trust me. Try me. Trust me. And let me prove to you, I can be trusted. That's why we read in 1 Timothy, when Paul, or 2 Timothy, when Paul's trying to encourage a young pastor beginning in ministry, he says, I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure, because he knew by experience, in the Apostle Paul's life, that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. I've tested him. I've trusted him, and he's been faithful. I haven't always understood. Remember, Paul would go through imprisonment. He'd be stoned. He'd be beaten. He'd be rejected. But in all of it, he knew God was there and working in ways he didn't understand. And that's why it says, trust him with all your heart, not just a little bit. And this is, folks, these are three conditions for what we'll find out as the promise of God at the end. Three conditions. The first is trust him. You've got to trust him with all your heart. Not just a little bit here, just a little bit there. I'll trust you for this. I'll trust you for that. God says, I want all of you. I'm going to give you all of me, God says. I want all of you. I want every area of your life, every part of your heart, every part of your life and mine. And allow me to build my plan, my purpose in your life if you trust me with all of your heart. And in doing so, the second thing he says, that second condition, not just trust him, is trust God and don't rely on your own personal perspective. Often our tendency is that we're going to take care of our problems ourselves until our resolutions run aground. And once our resolutions run aground, then, well, we might even go to God right then we go to friends, and other friends, and other friends. And either we're looking for them to agree with us, or somebody's going to shake us and say, nobody's going to agree with you, I don't know. But we finally get to the point where when all else fails, we finally get to God. And the truth is, what God wants us to do is to go to him first and say, trust me. Don't wait till the very end. Come to me first. Or maybe the other thing is that we find ourselves saying, God, I don't understand why you allowed or are allowing this to happen to me. I just don't understand. And here's the great part. When you study the scripture, you come to Hebrews chapter 11. And anybody know what Hebrews chapter 11 is called? It's called, what kind of chapter? It's called the faith chapter. You notice you'll never find in the scripture any chapter that's called the understand chapter. God doesn't call us to understand. God calls us to faith. Because there's sometimes he's going to work and do things in our lives and the lives of others that we don't always understand. There are things that I see that happen to the Savior I don't understand. But I know that all of those things ultimately would lead him to a cross, to die, to give his life, to forgive my sins, to purchase a place for heaven in me, and to live with me every day of my life. And after I look back on that, I understand. And here's the tough part. The reason God doesn't ask us for understanding but for faith is because most of the time we won't understand when he's leading us through what he is. That's why he asks for faith. Because once we can get through and we can look back, my life has been a life of, aha, oh, I get it. But I never got that going through it. I've always got it when I look back and I was, oh God, that is what you were doing, isn't it? I didn't understand that. But I trust and I believe. And so where it says put your full weight on him, this word that we look at when it says that we do not want to rely on our own understanding, the word rely is don't even lean. That word rely is basically wrapped in the word don't even lean. Forget the full weight. Don't even lean on it. Don't even prop yourself even a little bit on your understanding. Live it in faith and allow the understanding to come as time goes by and allow it to God. Because God knows our present, our future circumstances in ways that we don't and never will understand until we've gone through. And that's why he calls on us to do certain things. There's a story of a man who was very weak and becoming very frail and ill. He lived in a log cabin out in the outback, and he realized he didn't have enough money, as ill as he was, and didn't have the money nor the strength to make it to a doctor. And so he called out to God and asked that God would somehow help him, strengthen him, heal him. And he got this vision. And in this vision, he heard God saying to him, I want you to go out. There's this huge rock in your front yard. And I want you to push that rock. Well, the man got up from that vision, thought strange, but I will. And so he went out. And he began to push that rock all morning long and then all afternoon long. And that's great. And he did it for days after days. And then it became week after week. And finally, it was now 8 months. Every day he would get up, all morning and all afternoon, he would push against that rock. Well, he decided he was curious, and so he went, and he took a tape measure. And he had a sense that that rock had moved. But he measured, it didn't work. And for the next 4 weeks, he kept pushing on that rock. And after a month had passed by, he looked and he measured. And he realized that rock had moved not 1/32nd of an inch. It hadn't moved at all. And with that, he went up on the porch and he sat down and began to cry. Began to feel a sense of loss, hopelessness, and why. What was the point, God? What was the point? And then he had this vision, and Jesus is sitting next to him. And Jesus asks him, why are you crying? And he goes, well, here I've been pushing against this rock for 9 months, Jesus. 9 months. And what's the point? It hasn't moved, not a fragment of an inch. What was the point? Yes. Did I tell you to move the rock or push against the rock? And the man said, you told me to push against the rock. Yes, I did. I didn't tell you to move it. This wasn't about the rock. This was about you. I want you to go in and take a look at a mirror. And he walked in, and he said, look, he began to look, and he began to realize he had gotten muscular and stronger. His eyes, which were kind of frail and hanging, were now stronger. He had weight. He began to realize, actually, I can't remember the last time I wasn't coughing all night long. And I don't need a doctor, and I'm strong, and I'm well. And Jesus said it was never about the rock, that circumstance, what I charged you to do. It was all about you. And that's true in your life and mine. There are times when we may be pushing against a rock that's immovable. What's the point? The point is God made that rock, but he has a relationship with you. And it's all about you and his love for you and his plan and his purpose for you. So that's why we step back and say, I'm not looking at my perspective because God's is far bigger. And then the last thing he says in that condition is look for God's direction in all your decisions and circumstances of life. Notice how it ends? Think about him in all your ways. All of them. And it's interesting when it says, think about him in all your ways. The picture there is, when it says think about him, it's the idea of see God. That Hebrew picture is in all of your circumstances, see God. Whether you're going on vacation or going to your vocation, whether you are praying or whether you are playing, see God, because he's part of it all. And he wants to be part of it all. Every and all circumstances that we are going through, that we want to think about him, and nothing is too small for God. I remember my son Joe asking me, you know, hey, you know, been thinking that I'd like to ask for a skateboard for, I think it was his birthday coming. Can you be okay for me to ask that for God? Of course, he was younger at the time. I'm like, look, you know, if it's important to you, it's important to God. God can say yes, God can say no. God's name is Mom. No. In that situation, no. But take it all to him, because it's all important. If it's important to you, it's important to God. Or I heard the story of a woman who, she went to her pastor. And in the story, she asked him if he thought that God would want to be involved in the little things of her life. Now, I want you to think about this. Have you ever asked yourself, is this big enough for God? I mean, this is too small. Why would I want to bother God about this? And I loved how the minister responded. Do you really think that God thinks that anything you go through is big to him? Get that. What you may think is little, and then you have some that's big. Is there anything that you go through that's big for God? We all know the answer to that. No. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small for God. You know, we have legal consultants, tax consultants, financial consultants, health consultants, and some of them can be pretty expensive. And we go to them about every last little thing, but what about the fact that there's one we go to, and he paid the price for us at the cross through Jesus, that his grace and his love is free, and he offers it, and he wants to lead us, wants to be involved in our life, and all he wants us to do is come and bring all these things to him, because he loves us. That's why he says, now if any one of you lacks wisdom, hey, if you don't know, if you're not sure, ask God, who gives to all generously, without criticizing, and it will be given. There's nothing too big, nothing too small that God says, oh, please, did you really bring that to me? What's it say there? He says, whatever you ask, he doesn't criticize. He's generous, he's loving, he's caring, and he wants you to know. Because he does know. What you saw in that last poem is a wonderful verse for us to know, is that when we're not sure, God is, we need to understand. What we don't understand is that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. And that's what he says. Because as high as the heaven is on the earth, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. God is just that great and awesome God, and we want to go to him. Let me give you this thought, though, as you leave. A couple things, just a couple points to take with you. God knows better than we ourselves know. And that means that he knows our weaknesses, and we need to trust him. So when I say to you, trust him, that doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, that it's going to be comfortable and fun. Because I don't know if your life's been that way. I've learned more from my pain than I have from my pleasure so many times in life. And God uses that pain to develop us. And shall he uses the pleasures, but he uses the circumstances and situations that don't always make a whole lot of sense to us. And again, we could prove that scripture after scripture after scripture. I give you Moses, who thought he was going to serve God his way. And God said, no, that's not my way. And he had to take the next 40 years of his life and make him ready to care for the flock of God by caring for his father-in-law's flock for 40 years. And only then was he ready to care for God's flock. It might be, I don't understand it, but God had a plan and a purpose. And then the next thing is that it doesn't mean that in every circumstance that we can but have faith and understanding that in all these things, he's going to work out his plan and his purpose in every decision. Let me close with this story. This story is a mountain climber. At the time I read, what's given is true, that back some years ago, there's men who decided he wanted to climb the highest mountain in Argentina. I don't know if I'll even pronounce it right. Atacama. It's the highest mountain in the Americas. What's that? There you go. He's got it. Do you know how high it is?
22,000.
Oh, you got me scared. Now it's 22,841 feet. I'm impressed. Wow. We got a walking encyclopedia here. This is amazing. Part of the Andes mountain range in Argentina, this man decided he wanted to climb it, but he wanted to do it on his own to get all the glory. And he's getting there, so he's climbing and he's climbing. And finally, as he's not that far from the peak, right from the top, all of a sudden, it gets dark, and the winds are blowing, and he slips, and he falls. And he found himself falling, just flowing, falling. It seemed like forever. And gravity pushing him faster and farther, until all of a sudden, he felt like he was about to split in half, because like every good climber would do, he had tied onto the rock, and now this rope seemed to catch him and caught him. And he was hanging in midair. It's dark, it's cold, and he realized he couldn't stay this way. If he didn't, he'd probably freeze to death during the night. Something had to happen. He just couldn't hang there. Just couldn't get himself around. So he begins to yell, help me, help me. There was no answer. So finally says, God, help me, help me. And God said, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. He says, oh, God, help me, help me. And God says, that's perfectly fine. But you've got to do exactly what I say. And the man says, well, sure. He goes, I want you to cut the rope free. Just cut yourself free from the rope. And trust me. And the man just stayed there. In the morning, when climbers came by and discovered they had to rescue him, the man had frozen to death at night. He froze to death 2 feet over a ledge. That transported him, big enough to be able to put a tent and keep himself in the carry he had. But it was just a matter of trusting. Too dark to see, but God could see, God knew. Let me encourage you with this promise. God says, if you do these three conditions, trust me, don't rely on your perspective, bring it all to me. He says, I will direct you in the right paths, in the way that I know is best for you. Even if you don't think it is, let me assure you it is. And that's where faith comes in. And when you do that, these things, this is how we trust. No matter who you are, no matter who you are, not a preacher, teacher, seminary professor, whatever, trust God. No matter how you feel, and sometimes trust can come hard. We don't feel like trusting. That's why we say, God, give me that. Give me the faith. Give me the trust. Give me the feeling. Trust. No matter what people do, let you down, discourage you, hurt you, trust God. No matter what happens, because in our perspective it may not make sense, trust God. Last thing, no matter where you are in your life, and if you've been taking for the first time that step, maybe, okay, I'm kind of new to this thing called trust and faith. Known you for a long time, but here we go. Let's take a step at a time, and He'll go with you a step at a time. Let's pray about that. Father, thank you for being here today, for bringing these people here safely. I pray that you'll be with them today, that this is a message that Solomon had for his son, but it's what you have for us as your sons and your daughters. It's your great desire to work in our lives and to build us really not just for here. Your intent is to mold us and shape us to be more like Jesus and prepared for heaven and all eternity. And so because of that, you will work in our lives and develop us in ways that we may not always understand. But you're working nonetheless. And help us to trust you, not to lean on what we believe and understand, but to trust you fully, to bring everything that is in our life, our vacation, our vocation, our praying, and our playing. We're going to bring it all to you. Every morning when we get up, we remember this verse, we remember this challenge, and say, God, as my feet hit the floor and I begin a new day, I trust you. I trust where it is you'll lead. I trust what you're doing in my life. And I pray someday you'll help me understand. But to that I will believe. And I look for you to do what you have purposed with us for my good and for your glory. And I thank you that you do it because you're such a loving and gracious God. As we do this, as you go with us, we thank you for such assurances and such love. Through Jesus our Savior, we pray again.